special report, coronavirus update.
We have lost three members of our family in a little over 48 hours.
New York City Police Commissioner Dermot Shea on the cost of protecting the big city, losing officers to the coronavirus.
I cannot begin to describe what we are feeling, what the families of these three heroes are feeling. We are hurting, we are crying, and we continue to fight.
500 members of the NYPD sick now with COVID-19. The Navy's trying to get 4,000 to 5,000 sailors, some infected with coronavirus, off the aircraft carrier USS Theodore Roosevelt docked at Guam, but correspondent Ryan Brown tells us it's slow going.
They're trying to get as many sailors off as they can, put them in isolation and quarantine, but there's some issues here. One, you can't just clear the ship. It's not a cruise ship. There's a nuclear reactor aboard. They have to maintain some personnel on that ship to run things. And there's a limit on the space there in Guam where they can put sailors in isolation.
And, of course, how do you disinfect a city-sized aircraft carrier? I'm Michael Toscano. Speaking of cruise ships, approximately 6,000 Carnival Corporation passengers are still aboard several of the company's cruise ships, unable to disembark probably through April. Two Holland American ships are still in a standoff with Florida's governor as they try to dock there with sick and dead people on board. Payroll processor ADP is reporting American companies lost 27,000 jobs in March. The losses offer a snapshot of how the coronavirus is striking at America.
Most of the job losses in the March report were concentrated in a category that includes retail, which cut 37,000 jobs, and in construction, which shed 16,000. Hotels, restaurants, and casinos lost 11,000. Healthcare providers were still hiring, adding 44,000 jobs. Economists forecast much larger job losses, probably in the millions, will be reported in coming months. I'm Scott Carr.
Wall Street stocks sinking again today. Losses down 2% for the NASDAQ, 3% for the S&P and the Dow. I'm Michael Toscano.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DinoVite.com.
DinoVite is nutrition. Probably 2 weeks after he started DinoVite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a DinoVite dog, and he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without DinoVite. When I get out the DinoVite, my dog actually salivates, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. DinoVite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny and 90 today, 62 overnight tonight, south wind at 10, 86 and sunny tomorrow, 57 tomorrow night, west wind at 10, 85 and sunny on Friday.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Good morning, Yuma. We're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU in studio. Russ Clark, pushing buttons.
It's nice to have you with headphones on. You know, you don't normally have the headphones on. You know?
No, but this is great. We're practicing social distancing. You're more than 6 feet away, and we're doing it right.
It was by my choice.
I want to stay as far away from John as I can possibly get. Well, we have our guests. We'll be calling in this morning because, again, we have Julie Engel coming on in the first half hour and then Paul Melcher in the second half hour. Before we went to the break, when we were on Russ Clark's show,
right,
we talked about the organizations that are really working hard behind the scenes, making sure that the correct information is getting out to the business world, making sure that folks know that they're supported, making sure that folks know that there's a lot of information out there, the SBA stuff, the moving targets, the old forms. Finally, late last night, old forms were replaced with the new forms.
SBA, and this would be, are these special forms for relief from this?
Yes.
And they're already taking applications for
that. Yes.
And how do we get those? Is that an online?
Okay, you can go to SBA.gov, and again, there's several different forgivable loans, and there's some loans that you have to pay back. But the Paycheck Protection Program, these are forgivable loans.
Okay. One way or the other, we need to stay in business. Payback or not, we need to start getting in touch with people.
Yep.
And start looking because, you know, there's many businesses out there that can't make payroll when they have no customers.
That's because there's no revenue stream. And what we're figuring out, too, on the U.S. Chamber of Commerce website.
But right now you have a phone call. You want to take it?
Yeah, you're on the air.
It's me again.
Good morning. Good morning, Julie. We have Julie Engel, who is the President and CEO of the Greater Yuma Economic Development Corporation, online. Good morning, Julie.
How are you?
We're fantastic. You got your slippers and jammies on, don't you?
You're close. You are absolutely close. I'm almost embarrassed to say
that. You can lie to us and tell us you got dressed up.
Yeah, this working from home thing, I'm not good for it. I'm in the fridge all day long.
No,
I've been eating like a cow.
No.
Yeah, it's not good.
I saw a meme on Facebook that said a public service announcement. Put your jeans on every 3 days.
That's funny.
And I feel because I'm working from home on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I feel left-handed. My stuff isn't there. I don't have the home office set up the way my office is set up. And some people do it great. I'm not on that list. How are you holding up, Julie, working remotely and that sort of thing? How are you guys doing at GYDC?
You know, very well. We've always been designed for this because we travel so much. So we have to be able to work remotely while we're on the road. And so we are able to adapt really easy to this. I think we miss one another really bad. And there's things happening. We're all moving so fast that I really need to have a long-distance staff meeting so that we can all know where each other's at. That's the only thing that I don't like about this is we used to have daily updates on, what everybody's doing, and now we're just all working so fast and everything is moving so fast. That's the only concern I have is that we might be duplicating, we might be missing something because we automatically assume someone's doing it. So.
And we are social creatures. I miss the laughter in the office because we go so fast in the chamber office. Most folks don't realize that we're not the visitors bureau. We don't do immigration work there because we're in the old city hall. When I pay my water bill, we get traffic in the office, which is kind of fun and funny. But so we work hard, but we really have a good lighthearted office. But I miss that interaction. I really miss my team because they're fabulous. They've got great skill sets that are separate and unique and kind of blend together wonderfully.
Are you doing conferences now?
We're Zooming.
Zooming. Now, the Zooming is a visual, right?
Yep.
You too, Julie? You're doing that too?
Oh, yes.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm around all you high-tech guys. I need to get that.
No, I had to do the Dick and Jane think and do this, do that. Someone had to do it for me, but it's working. So, Julie, thank you for taking time this morning to talk about the things that we're doing collectively and collaboratively here in Yuma County, especially the Greater Yuma Economic Resource Portal. Talk about the ingenuity, and again, thank you. Your team had a huge lift in putting this thing together. Walk me through what it's done for you and the communication with your investors.
Well, I really hope everyone is aware of this. I was grateful for the coverage that we got when we rolled it out. We had the Yuma Sun, we had the TV station, we had Arizona Western College Radio, and now you guys. So thank you so much for this because there is a wealth of information on this portal. And it is a way for everyone to find information with one, two clicks. And even the applications, you have direct links to the applications. And the information is changing so rapidly that we inserted a blog into this page, and now the blog has some of your resources very easily accessible, especially the applications to the FDA programs, and then also updates from Governor Ducey, because he is making announcements almost daily as well. So we just want to have the main source, which is the website, and there's direct links to Arizona Together, which is the governor's information source. There's a direct link to the 211 emergency COVID hotline. The Arizona Commerce Authority is releasing, they're actually hosting webinars. There's one today from 9 to 11.
Yep.
To assist businesses with how to go through this application process. So there's a link to that. We have the SBA, Small Business Administration. However, we do on our blog have some of the direct links to the applications for those loans. So you can get it through the blog a little bit easier. It's a little easier to navigate on the blog. And then there's just widgets that take you directly to national sources and then also local sources, because APS has a utilities assistance program. The food bank has, they are getting an infusion of money through the state, but they still need volunteers and they still need donations. So there's a link to the food bank. There's a link to Yuma Regional Medical Center. There's a, as everyone knows, there's a shortage of equipment and supplies needed there. So it'll take you to their site that lists what they're accepting donation-wise. And then the Yuma Private Industry Council is trying to be, or Arizona at Work, I should say.
Right.
They are the link between those who have been furloughed or laid off and those industries that are now ramping up because they are responding to the demand.
You know, the great thing.
It's a wealth of information.
Yep, and people need to. It's very simple. GYERP.org. And that stands for the Greater Yuma Economic Resource Portal.org. It's a great site.
Yes.
And what I love about this, Julie, is I think this portal and this initiative is really indicative of the collaboration, communication, cooperation of all entities in Yuma County. Southwestern Arizona, we get together, gel, we do things. And this is Yuma County, GYDC, the Chamber, all the cities in Yuma County, organizations, Visit Yuma, the Heritage Area, everybody got together and said, let's make this thing a one-stop shop so people don't have to bounce around, look around. It's amazing, and your team did a nice job putting the site together. And again, I was excited to be at the outset of this conversation, and it's working. It's really working.
We've received an enormous amount of activity and click-throughs even. So not only are people visiting it, but they're clicking through. And if you look on the site, if you scroll down to the bottom, it lists everyone who was involved in the creation of this and who is continuing to be a contributor to this, because as I said, information is updated rapidly. And so every one of these entities who are listed as a partner to this are still contributing information. So Fly Yuma International Airport, they are contributing updated information as to what's happening in their states. And we have the Greater Yuma Port Authority and what's happening with border crossings and essential workers now being able to cross and the processes for that. And we have SETI, because we need to know that the students are getting everything they need during this homeschooling operation. And we have a Visit Yuma and Chamber of Commerce, as you said, Arizona at Work, WAED, University of Arizona, Forefront AD, Arizona Western College, Yuma County. And I have to give a shout out to Yuma County and Paul Meltzer, because I called Paul Meltzer and said, I'm sending out an email to all of our investors trying to, and this was at the very onset, and saying that we needed to get them thinking differently. And so this triggered him to come up with the portal idea. And so he really was the catalyst behind this portal and actually orchestrated all these partners coming together to get it created and going. And we did it in less than a week. The website was created in 2 days. So the website is still a work in progress. We're constantly changing. I do believe that the mobile application is now operational. When we first launched, the mobile optimization wasn't performing accurately, but I think that's been corrected. Amber has let me know that that is up to date.
Yeah, Julie, both so, Russ and I are looking at it on our phones, and it's beautiful. It's working great.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah. You're right. And all the contributors, you know, folks on the conference calls, contributing ideas, contributing different things that you can do, it's really incredible how all these organizations from Somerton, San Luis, everybody, we pivoted so quickly to get this out there. It's correct. It's accurate. It's timely. And it, like you said, it's a living document. It's breathing.
John, I'm going to give you a choice real quick. You need to take a break now, or we can just put it off because we don't have that many commercials until the half past.
Yeah, let's take a longer break at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
Can we do that?
All right, okay. Just keep talking to Julie. Forget I interrupted.
But again, the FCC is listening, I'm sure. But again, and even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce site that has the data points as well, this is something you really, everyone needs to look at it. GYERP.org. The information in there is just incredible.
Well, and you can go right to the GYDC web page.
Yep.
And there's a click right on the front page.
Correct.
To get to it.
And the same thing on the chamber page.
I was going to say, Russ, that's really important because every one of these partners have a link to it on their website as well. So if you're looking, I'm going to go back to the airport. If you're looking for flight information, if you go to Fly Yuma International Airport, there should be a link to this website on there as well.
Wow.
Every one of our partners have agreed to put access to it on their home pages. And again, I want to reiterate, the blog is new, and the blog is where all updated information is at your fingertips. So follow the blog page as well. The thing that I want to stress to our community, especially our business owners, is the CARES Act update information is the first thing on that blog, and it has links directly to your applications so that you can start your online application today. Local First Arizona has a small business relief fund, and this is for businesses that are three people, three employees or less, and you make less than, I need to look this up really fast, I'm sorry, I had it in my head and then it's gone, $250,000 annual revenue, and they are giving grants. This is not a loan, this is a grant for any business within the state of Arizona, so if you meet that, please go on, or if you're a sole proprietor, please, there's lots of things for sole proprietors in both the CARES Act and in the Local First Arizona. And then we have the retailers, what's happening in that space right now. So jump on the blog if you need a really quick access to these updates, because when we started this, the applications weren't available yet. And so we have the applications on these resource page, links, but I think the blog has simplified it because there's been lots of evolutions already in this process.
You're right, Julie. You know, the U.S. Chamber, the conference call yesterday, you can now have up to 10 weeks of paid leave if your child is out of school and you have to stay home and care for a child. But you can't stack that on top of some other benefits. So you have to be careful and look through the fine print. Some 501c3s have an extraordinary amount of money coming to them. 501c6s, I think we max out at 10 grand, and that's fine. But again, because this is a 1,000-page act of Congress, you have to understand the details. And this site has that distilled down for folks to really understand what they can and can't do. They simplified the forms, the SBA forms, the loan docs. It's a single page for most of these things. And we want to let folks know, look, don't be afraid of this, please. And if you have trouble getting through us through the site, call us, the chamber, 782-2567. We'll help walk you through some of the forms and get you to the right place. But this, the site, as Julie, again, you and your team put it together quickly, accurately. It's easy to navigate. Congratulations on a job very, very well done.
Well, it's a team. It is a team, and it is everyone contributed. I do want to say that all SBA-approved agencies are able to start lending, and then Yuma, Wells Fargo, and National Bank have both already been identified. But I spoke with one of our only local bank yesterday, and they're going through the process to become an SBA lender as well. So I don't think the process is onerous, and I think we'll have more institutions trying to help. And so right now, if you have a relationship with Wells Fargo or National Bank, please start those conversations with your institutions, especially if you are having to lay off, furlough, or your revenues are impacted, you've got some big expenses coming up. Be sure to be proactive in this and do everything you can to take advantage of what the stimulus is trying to do, and that's keep your doors open.
Right. And also, Washington Federal, they have 0% loans currently.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that email late last night. Yeah, 0% loans. There's some other qualifiers in there that might be harder to get, but it's 0% money. And again, it's there and turnkey.
Is that supported by any of these acts that are going on in the stimulus money?
Washington Federal, no.
This is just them.
Yep. This is
wow,
their deal.
Outside that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And that's what America is so great. You look at people, it doesn't matter, you know, your political affiliation. Let's get together, get this thing done.
Right.
Let's move quickly. Let's help folks. There are those that are really struggling.
But the only thing they can't do is come to your business and ask you if you need help. You need to go see them.
Right.
So for you guys listening in business and you're facing all these problems, you've got to get out and start talking to Julie, John, and you get a direction, and then go out and make applications and talk. I know it's tough. It's hard. You got to do it.
There's a saying, we are at our best when things are at their worst.
Yeah.
And I think you're seeing that right now with the collaboration of all the cities, the county, Arizona Horizon College's SBDC. Randy Nelson has been a star.
He always has been.
Oh, my heavens. Yeah, but he stepped up his game with this deal, really helping us distill the information for this site. And folks, please go to either the GYDC website, the Chamber of Commerce website, any of the partner websites, the airport, SBDC, to get to this portal, the Greater Yuma Resource
Julie, are you doing anything in the public now? I mean, are you meeting with anybody, or are you strictly locked down? What are you doing?
We actually have conducted two meetings at our office, and we did practice the social distancing, and we cleaned surfaces and did everything that you're required to do. But with technology, it's just not necessary. And so I serve on some boards, and the boards have all gone to Zoom. We're still meeting, but we're not doing it in person. We're holding our meetings through Zoom or WebEx. We've been using both platforms. And so, but I'm sorry, I want to jump back a little bit onto something that John said. You are not alone in this, and if you have to lay off or furlough, please contact Arizona at Work, Patrick Getz. There is a way to do this that is less painful, and there's ways to continue paying your employees. So you're not alone, and that is the main reason for this website is there are so many people who are bogged down by the fears and, you know, the dramatic impact that we have in such a short amount of time. Our hotels, our restaurants, they are grossly impacted by this, but they're not alone. And so please use all of these tools that are at your fingertips, and it will make it just better to navigate, less painful, and your employees will be very grateful to you.
You're exactly right, Julie. There's within the site, on our conference call last night, the difference between a layoff and a furlough. And again, this is important stuff because one, you have to pay when you don't. The other one is a true unemployment insurance situation. You go down that path. But this site is designed for everybody and anybody to go there, get the information. You're exactly right, Julie. You're not alone. we're all rowing this same boat together. We're going to get to the destination on time. We're going to come out the other side of this stronger, faster, better, quicker, right. smarter. I think we're going to come out the other side of this, I think, being more appreciative of one another. I do believe that.
And this is unfortunate that it happened, but we're learning from this, and we're going to be better prepared for any kind of catastrophic event that comes our way. This has been the precursor for what we need to have in place. We're lucky that we don't experience natural disasters. Communities who have been hit hard by natural disasters have been doing this. They're right. they're geared up to this. We haven't. We haven't had to do this. So we are, for lack of a better description, we are building the plane as we fly it. And so we
Ouch.
Are trying to we're trying to get all this done.
But you're right. We're so blessed in Southwestern Arizona, Julie, we don't have those natural disasters, the hurricanes, tornadoes, that kind of stuff. Maybe we're a little complacent, kind of roaring 20s, and now we're looking at paying the piper. But again, and most folks didn't have 3 or 4 or 5 months of working capital in the bank in case there was an emergency. A few did. Most haven't. So again,
right.
this CARES package came out. Congress acted quickly. It's out there. The money's out there. And the forms, they've simplified the forms, ladies and gentlemen. Please go to the site, GYERP.org.
Get it started.
Get it started, exactly. Or give us a call.
Yeah.
We really want you to know, as Julie, you said it well, you're not in this alone. We're in this all thing together.
And Julie, I got a lot of callers telling John this morning, that I get a lot of calls, people just stopping by my office, calling me up because I'm on the radio, whatever, says, are we going to be okay? Are we going to be?
Yeah.
And a lot of people want to know the answer to that. And the answer is, because we've got teams and people like you're doing here, yeah, we're going to be fine. There's going to be some issues we need to handle, but let's get on it.
Yep.
Let's get on it and take care of it.
I was on an international call yesterday, and we had updates from Germany, UK, Italy, Switzerland, and France, and we had a gentleman from Milan who was telling us that they have finally seen their numbers plateau and they're starting to decline.
Right.
And they are getting through this, so we get to learn from those who have gone before us. We get to learn what they're doing and how quickly they're going to start normal business again. So best practices will be out there, just like these cities in the United States that have been hit by a disaster. There's best practices that we've already learned from, and these other countries that are ahead of us in this virus, we're going to be able to learn from them and what they're doing and how they're going to recover.
Absolutely.
This virus is very, very different from anything we've seen because it just doesn't discriminate.
Yep.
It is very strange how it's passed from one person to another. It's very strange how a healthy person will all of a sudden end up with a wet lung, or someone who has some other issues going on gets through it. So there's no pattern.
Yep. It's nasty and it's new. I hate to cut you off. Julie, gonna go to a heartbreak at the bottom of the hour. I'm proud to be part of this team. Thank you for all you do for Yuma County. Again,
Thank you.
We will see you soon, okay? We'll probably talk to you tonight at 4 o'clock.
Take care. Be well.
All right. Bye.
Contest rules for all giveaways and contests on 560 KBLU can be viewed and downloaded at our website, kbluam.com.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up Your Pickup Truck Store is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bedliner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bedliners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So
protect your vehicle inside and out with Linex spray and bed liners and snug top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Linex spray and bed liners, and snug top shells and lids at Truckmates in this brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Hello, I am the local owner and operator of Lapel's Dry Cleaning. The impact of the current health crisis is affecting us all, as individuals and as small businesses. As a cleaning facility, Lapel's is considered an essential service, and our doors will remain open. You may know Lapel's is the only 100% environmentally friendly cleaning system in Yuma. What you may not know is we clean items at temperatures you cannot reach at home or in a laundromat. Temperatures that kill any bacteria, including the COVID-19 virus. We are offering a 20% discount on all bedding items, all military and first responder uniforms at our regular 10% off, and as always, free pickup and delivery, so you do not have to leave your home. You can reach Lapel's Dry Cleaning at 928-259-7350. We are here for our community in this trying time. Thank you for supporting locally owned businesses, and stay safe.
Truckmates, Yuma's fix up your pickup truck store. It's Yuma's home for snug top shells and lids. Snug top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry leading quality and trend setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's snug top. Truckmates is also your Linex spray in bed liner dealer. Linex, number one in America for spray in bed liners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Linex spray and bed liners and snug top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Linex spray and bed liners, and snug top shells and lids at Truckmates in this brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Arizonans have questions about COVID-19.
How is the state of Arizona working with hospitals to help them treat coronavirus patients?
Can anyone get tested?
If we have symptoms, do we go to our doctor or the hospital?
Get your answers during the Arizona COVID-19 Town Hall, Thursday, 6 p.m. with Governor Ducey and Arizona Health Director Dr. Crist. Arizona COVID-19 Town Hall, live Thursday, 6 p.m. on this station.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 a.m. KBLU. We've got on the line with us this morning, Paul Melcher, who is the Director of Economic Development and Intergovernmental Affairs for Yuma County. Paul, you on the line?
Good morning, John.
Good morning. The technology is just an awesome thing. We had Julie on for the first half hour, and again, we're practicing social distancing, and this is great. Good morning, sir. How are you?
How distant
are
we?
I'm doing fantastic,
Paul,
thanks.
Well, you and I are about 7 feet apart.
Oh, and how far is away, Paul? I mean, I just want to make sure we get a record that we're social distancing.
A couple miles, I think.
Six blocks, yes.
I got that covered.
I love it. We talked at length in the first half hour about the site and about the portal and that sort of thing. But, Paul, I really want to, on the air, tell folks that you've just been a champion when you were coordinating all the issues and getting the meetings together for the ozone and all that, the PM10 issues. You're working tirelessly on the Fair Relocation Committee, doing a great job with the Rural Broadband Committee. You're just leading the charge and leading the charge on this portal. So I'm proud to know you, and you're working harder than 10 guys I know. So congratulations for all the heavy lifting.
Well, John, that's very kind of you to say. Thank you. I appreciate that. But really, as we talked at the press conference for the release of the portal, one of the things that is very apparent is, as a region, we come together so quickly and we collaborate, and we're very strong when we're working together. And I think that's been the real key element for the success in all of these projects. Getting all of our regional partners and stakeholders together makes us stronger, but it also allows us to get those things done quicker and more efficiently.
Now, I don't think this resource portal, the Greater Yuma Economic Resource Portal, I don't think it comes together in Tucson or Phoenix or Southern California. There's just too many silos, too many, I got to have this, I got to have that. But this group that you and Julie and I, we all assembled, got together and getting it done. People that don't live here don't get it. But we really worked hard making sure that the business community was taken care of, the populations, the vulnerable populations are taken care of through this site, displaced workers are taken care of on this site. The information is just robust, and everybody and anybody needs to use the site. And you had the vision just to say, hey, we need to do this, and everybody rallied around. So congratulations, like the Pied Piper. Nice job, Paul.
Well, thank you, John.
So as your job, your title is Director of Economic Development and Intergovernmental Affairs for Yuma County.
That's correct.
What does that mean? It
doesn't even matter,
what does
John?
It mean?
Paul's
going
to do anything he can.
So I absolutely have the longest title maybe in history.
Hold out business card.
It's actually very beneficial to me because the two don't exist in silos, as you were referencing earlier, John, because a lot of times legislation impacts economic development, and economic development is oftentimes dependent on legislation to get passed to be able to move things forward, particularly incentives. Last legislative session, Yuma County, in partnership with GYDC, was looking to get some legislation passed at the state level that would have benefited the rural areas. Julie Engel has talked extensively about the lag in rural economic development and the recovery, and we were looking to level that playing field and get that legislation passed. We pulled that legislation to go back and give it a wider stakeholder review for next legislative session to get that going again. But, you know, I think those are some of the things that they work hand in hand, so it's good for me to be directly related to all the legislative, get all those updates on an immediate basis so that we can also leverage those for better economic development.
Yeah, I believe that was that HB 2815. We were writing letters and banging the drum and talking about the uneven recovery. And again, that got set aside for right now, getting past this COVID-19 piece. But you're right, they do work hand in hand. And one of the things we didn't talk about the first half hour is the survey that we put out. It's on the Chamber's website, right on top of the homepage. It's on the Visit Yuma website. It's on GYDC's website. And again, this is a business condition survey. It's really simple to fill in. 9 questions. We want to find out from the business community, what do you need? Are you concerned about layoffs? Are you concerned about compensation for unemployment? Are you concerned about issues with SBA? So the survey went out late Monday. We've had about 300 responses so far. And again, with this data, I think we can pivot with the GYERP.org site. We can pivot. Now we have new data that's fresh. We have to add this and add other links, other information to that site. And I'm looking forward to everyone going to either the Chamber's website, GYDC's website. It's right on top, a business condition survey. It will take you 2 minutes. We just want to get some actionable data, get your input so we can move quickly and get help to you. And again, Paul, nice work on what you've been doing so far, sir.
Well, John, and thank you again. I would say the importance of surveys and other information that we're going to be compiling as a group is looking at the overall impacts to the local economy, figuring out how can we support businesses, but also look at a transitioning economy too, to anticipate what changes might be coming forward as a result of COVID-19, and then also looking to the future, because sometimes it's easy to get really involved in taking care of what are the immediate matters, and if we can start doing some of that planning too, that'll help, because there will be opportunities that come along with this with the economic changes, as well as there are some risks and challenges you have to overcome immediately.
You're right, and that's one of the things that you recognized early on, Paul, when we started to develop the site, and we started adding partners. Every time we would uncover a new potential issue, we kept adding partners, and if you go to the site, there's a couple dozen partners that are participating and that rallied around making sure that as conditions change, we're adapting almost immediately to those changing conditions.
And John, that's been really the benefit of having that daily call we've been doing for the economic development side, is making sure that as conditions change, and we've noticed even at the SBA level and some of the other programs, conditions are changing daily. Forms are getting updated, all of those things. So we want to make sure that everybody gets to hear that information in a timely fashion, that we can respond. And you mentioned earlier about meeting the business needs of the community, and I think that's what has really been our focus, starting with GYDC several years ago, about it's not looking at the business community. When it comes down to permits, support is how can you say yes? How do we make all these things happen? Instead of thinking of the government as that bureaucratic obstacle you've overcome, we really want to be that customer service oriented center that gets businesses going and keeps the community growing and developing.
You're exactly right. And, you know, in developing this site, as we were talking through it, everyone got together and everyone kept saying, it doesn't matter who gets the credit, let's just get it done. And I think that's a microcosm of southwestern Arizona, Yuma County. It doesn't matter who gets the credit, let's just get it done. And the contributions from the economic development folks in San Luis, Jenny Torres, Hector Tapi in Somerton, the folks jumping together, we need this, we need that, and moving quickly to make sure that all of those issues got resolved and all the information is available quickly, I think it really leads to the fact that the site is, people need to go there. Whatever you need, if it's not there, it'll be a miracle. But if it's not there, give us a call or shoot us an email, because we want to make sure that everybody is taken care of, from the nonprofits to the not-for-profits, to the sole proprietors, to the businesses that are 500-plus, and everybody in between. The information is there so that you come out the other side smarter, financially sound, and prepared, hopefully, that it would never happen again, but prepared for something to happen again. So the site itself, Paul, the blog Julie talked about, we'll be adding on links and things like that. Have I missed a couple of conference calls this morning already? Because the last one last night, we got a few things finished on the site. Anything new overnight that came across that you noticed, sir?
Not this morning. I haven't heard any substantive changes. One of the other things I think is critical moving forward, John, is to look at the federal programs to see how all of those benefited through that CARES Act stimulus package, to see where there might be some additional funding opportunities. So that's kind of the next phase now, that all of those notices of funding will be rolling out, and it'll be worth tracking those. You know, John, I wanted to touch on something you just said. There was a comparison done a couple months ago about how much the Phoenix metro communities put into economic development per individual community, and many of them are over millions of dollars in employees, incentive packages that they can provide, and all the rest of it. And I think that's why we all pull together, because we know that maybe individually we can't meet and address all the needs of business expansion and recruitment, but together we can. And that's the other, I think, really important thing to note. When we break down those silos and we do work as a team, even when we're doing region-wide business recruitment and expansion, we're very good at it.
Yes, we are. And others take notice and say, how do you guys do it in Yuma? I'm getting the signal from Russ Clark. Got to take a break. Can you hang on through the break, please, Paul, so we can talk again after the couple of commercials?
Sure thing, John.
Please do. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU.
If you're interested in a career in media sales, El Dorado Broadcasters has an opportunity for you. A media sales representative designs multimedia market solutions for their clients, including radio advertising, digital solutions, event sponsorships, and more. If you have experience in outside sales and calling on many different accounts, then you already have a great start into the business. Every business has to advertise. If you have media sales experience, that's even better. This is not a commission-only sales position. We'll give you a a salary, train you, and you'll make commissions on your very first sale. If you like what you hear, call 928-344-4980. That's 928-344-4980. Successful media sellers make an excellent living, and with hard work, it won't take long for you to get there. Ready to join the world of media sales? Send your resume to hiremenow@edbroadcasters.com. That's hiremenow@edbroadcasters.com. El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Russ Clark, and I want to tell you about the only air conditioning company I trust to keep me cool. Quick Refrigeration got the call when I was in need of new air conditioners for my home. I value the experience and customer loyalty they have earned from their years in business. They communicate the processes and the capability of the system so I can feel comfortable with the decision. I recommended my friends at Quick Refrigeration to replace your old, inefficient, worn-out AC system with a new, high-efficiency system that will lower your cooling costs as much as 40%. Start the saving today before the summer heat. Don't wait till your system goes down. Call the best in town, Quick Refrigeration, Cooling and Heating, at 782-3691 or visit getcoolquick.com. Quick Refrigeration, keeping Yuma cool since 1955.
Back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBOU in studio. Russ Clark is pushing buttons and doing a nice job. And on the line we have Paul Melcher, the Director of Economic Development and Intergovernmental Affairs for Yuma County. So, good morning, Paul.
Good morning, John.
So, on the Arizona Chamber of Commerce call yesterday, I was asking about stackable benefits. In other words, let's say I take my $10,000 forgivable loan on this stack, but I also get 10 weeks of support for someone I had to furlough so they could go home and take care of their family. So they said, okay, that's doable. You can do that because those are two different pots of money and two different resources, two different things you have to do. So people can look at opportunities on the site of what they can add up. There's not a lot. The payroll protection plan, that's cut and dried. So if you do the payroll protection plan, and let's say you get $300,000 from that, and most of that's, you know, forgivable. But if you start taking pieces of unemployment, other pieces from other places, that gets deducted from that number. So again, this CARES Act was done by lawyers, so you have to be careful and not get penalized. But again, that's why the portal and the site is so important for people to use and for people to really look and see what they can and can't do.
Well, and John, I think that really presents a great opportunity for us after this crisis is over. When we look at it, one of the things that we've been discussing during our economic development group is that business resiliency. How do we make businesses more resilient? How do we make our local and regional economies more resilient in times of crises? And one of those things, I think, is to we take it for granted sometimes that we only need these programs during a crisis event, but I think if we could get the message out and the word out about these programs in general, just to say to the business community overall, we can be that resource. Here's our crisis management plan that we'll begin if something like this happens again, so that it doesn't have to go through, as Julie said, we don't have to make the plane as we're flying.
Right.
We can start anticipating some of these things. And I think that's the benefit of when we really track this overall, you know that we've been talking about the future of the transitioning economy and what opportunities we might have. But it's also creating that crisis event plan for our regional economy and looking at it and making that determination of how we can respond. We know now what those assets are. So let's create this plan so that as we move forward, we're prepared. You know, it's that great adage of, you know, you plan for the worst and hope for the best. And I think that's how we could approach this, is going out there and doing a lot of education to the local businesses and getting all of them up to speed on, you know, how their businesses can be more resilient as well.
Well, you're exactly right. I had a conversation with my board of directors, the last meeting I've attended since we decided all self-quarantine, with my board meeting. And we talked about how many businesses out there have you know, 5 or 6 months of working capital in the bank that they can tap for an emergency. And that's not a very big number. And but it, if you're going to sustain yourself through any crisis, it could be personal or professional or an act of God, you have to have that in your wheelhouse. You have to figure a way of having that financial situation, that comfortable pillow set aside. You have to have it, or the stress level and the way you conduct yourself in the business world is just not there. I'm not going to ask you, Russ, if you've got that kind of working capital, because it's personal. It's too personal, but you have to work towards that kind of a goal so that you can weather any storm, no matter what. And hopefully we'll learn from this. Hopefully it doesn't last long. Hopefully we're through this by the end of April. But again, I like to say the word hope, but I had a boss who used to tell me, hope is a good thing to have. It's just not a great business strategy. We have to have a hope to get through this thing. One of the things I want to do today, Paul, before our economic development call at 4, is see what programs you can, again, stack from Arizona, from Local First, the Arizona programs. How many of those can I use in addition to the programs through the CARES Act? So can I stack some Arizona programs on top of some federal programs? I want to make sure we get that information out to our businesses. I don't want them to get penalized. Take a Arizona support program, take a federal program, and then 9 months from now say, oh, by the way, you owe that money back. Or, oh, it's going to be on your tax forms or whatever. We want to make sure that there's no surprises for our business people. I think that's important, that there's no backside stuff come the third and fourth quarter. I think that's important.
Right. I don't think any business would like to get some kind of tax surprise at the end of or when it comes down to filing for next year based on any of the incentives or benefits and supports they received through either the CARE Act or any of the state incentive program. So, yes, that would be a good thing to know. So we'll put that on the list for discussion.
Good. And on a simple form, the stimulus check, the $1,200 and $2,400 that people are looking forward to, et cetera, that is taxable income. So people need to prepare for that, you know, set aside 30% so that next April you're going to be able to say, oh, yeah, Uncle Sam wants a cut of that back. So, again, surprises are overrated, and that's what we want to do with this organization that you put together with the Greater Yuma Economic Resource Portal, is have those tips in there. Let's help folks get through this and flourish come the third and fourth quarter this year. I think that's pretty important.
That's a great link. We can sure talk to GYDC. We'll work on getting something like that. You're right, tips for personal stimulus or something like that, just to say, hey, you know, look at these fine points. Remember these things. Come, you know, January will be here soon enough.
You got that right. So the other thing, Paul, I want to talk about, the other things you're doing with your job as the Director of Economic Development and Intergovernmental Affairs for Yuma County, you're really driving the driving force behind the Fair Relocation Committee. Are we going to kick that back into gear and try to meet via Zoom? Did we get the $5 million out of this state budget to get started? Where are we with that program?
So, John, for our April meeting, what we want to do is finalize that plan of action. We don't have the $5 million in hand to use for the grant match for our property acquisition or for any other of the grant match requirements. But what we're also able to do, though, is the state legislature contemplates how they're going to readjourn and what they're going to do after that in consideration of all the bills. You know, the state passed that skinny budget, you know, get everything ready to go so that the state can continue to function. But that we can still have a lot of time to prepare. Our initial grant applications aren't due until what we wanted to get them accomplished and completed in November for review a couple months in advance before we actually submit the grants. So we still have some time before then to get all that information prepared. So there's still a lot of work to do, time being, and just figuring out where that grant match might come from initially.
Okay, because the $5 million, that was one-time funding, correct?
It's still to be determined.
Okay.
Yeah, at least initially, we're just counting on it as one-time funding. If it gets funded in sequential years, all the better, because that just allows us more additional grant match. We're looking at millions of dollars in federal programs and federal grants, so anything that we can do to offset that, those grant match requirements is a great deal.
You know, the theater relocation, what a huge project, and again, worthy of everyone's efforts to make sure we do this right. And the Yuma County Fairgrounds, you know, long-term, it'll be the fairgrounds and event center if we do this right. And the people at the table at those committee meetings, they're engaged. They want to make sure we do this right. And again, the grant money that's out there, the possibility out there at the federal level, this is going to get done in my lifetime, so I'm pretty excited about it.
And so am I, because, John, I think it's worth noting, too, that there are at least 10 or 15 stakeholders that I can recall off the top of my head who are part of that effort. And again, going back, it's a community effort from the public sector, the non-government organizations, and as we move forward, some of the private sector as well to get this accomplished. It's very important not only for the preservation of MCAS operations and the expansion of their operations moving forward, but we also want to preserve that ag legacy that's tied to the fairgrounds. And as you said, expand it and allow the fairgrounds to really be what it can be and plan for some of its own future growth.
You're exactly right. And this kind of circles back to the resource portal and the kind of things that you're doing to collaborate stakeholders. You talked about the stakeholders at the table for the Fair Relocation Committee, and I think the same thing happens with the economic development calls, the same stakeholders, not the same people, but the same folks who are engaged. There's no silos. There's no, this is my little thing I got to get done. Everyone is contributing. They're really participating, and they're cooperating and compromising. You know, again, maybe I didn't get everything. I got what we needed. And as long as we stay focused on the end result, with this resource portal, the end result is that all businesses come through this in the black. We don't lose. I've heard folks out there saying, Paul, we're going to lose 20-25% of our businesses here in Yuma County. You know, one is too many. One is too many. So what we're doing is to make sure that doesn't happen. And again, on the fair relocation, what a huge lift. And again, this is a legacy piece for all the folks at the table, that this is good for the next two or three or four generations when we get the fair thing done correctly. And it's exciting stuff. Excuse me.
And it really is. And John, I always say it sounds nerdy to say that it's exciting stuff when you're working on projects like that. But it is, because when you look at expanding broadband capabilities, the fair relocation, even when you go down to the air quality things that we've been working on, the community has just risen to the occasion in all these instances, and we are really benefiting from it.
The great thing about this conversation is that this lets folks know that while the Chamber of Commerce, we're not doing mixers and Good Morning Yumas, this lets my members know, and Julie's investors know too, there's a lot of work we do behind the scenes on things like this to make sure this community is a great place to live, work, play, raise a family, worship as you choose, run a profitable business. And that's what we do when we're not doing mixers and Good Morning Yumas and things like that. It's important that folks know that.
Well, you do more than just parties.
Oh, yeah. And again, proud to be part of the committees that Paul has created, because, again, going back to the old, the work that you did on the ozone and PM10 work, which is still, we're still working on those things. Thank you for doing that. Where are we on that, by the way?
Well, actually, there's light at the end of the tunnel, because we should have state implementation plans submitted here for ozone and for the for PM10 here in short order. And that's the great news, is moving forward. And, I have my fingers crossed, and John, like you said, hope sometimes, but we've been having really good ozone readings, so if we get three, we have two consecutive years of great readings. If we get a third, then we're back in attainment. So,
all right, we got to go. Paul, we got a hard break.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you tonight.
All right.
Bye-bye.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy.
From the one-hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.